Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer here at the SiriusXM Studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas. I think one of the greatest studios ever built. But speaking of ever built, we have three of the best co-hosts ever built. Obviously, look at these things. He's built like a brick shit house, but he's kinder than anyone I've ever met. The incredible Greg Kimble. Thanks for hosting with me, my brother.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's truly an honor to be here, and what a freaking incredible production.
We're blessed. And speaking of blessed, Sean Rais is here. He's the billion-dollar brand builder, events, books, and of course, he has a 120-day brand launching program that has considerably changed so many of my clients' lives by building the awareness to their essence, their frequency. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Humbled and privileged to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I call him a friend, humbly call him a friend, but he's really a mentor, a coach, and a teacher to millions of people around the world. First exposed to him in the movie The Secret. And the secret was he had so much more to offer than that movie, that's for sure. If you haven't followed the King of Inner Size, he has changed the way I look at things, as Xanders and Wayne Dyer taught me. So the things that I look at change. The incredible, the legend himself, a world thought leader, John Assaroff, thanks for joining us.
Mr. David Meltzer, great to be here with you and the other two amazing guests.
We are blessed. Well, speaking about champions, I've been blessed to be introduced to the youngest UFC champion of all time. He was a professional boxer, but more importantly than being a champion in the cage, in the ring, he's a champion in life. And what he is able to create in a harmony of being an entrepreneur, a father, a husband, a community member is quite astounding. It's someone that I put up on a pedestal for other athletes who want to have it all. Vitor Belfort has it all. That's why we've invited him to be on Office Hours. Welcome, my friend, Vitor. How are you?
I'm doing blessed. It's amazing to be along with these top guys among yourself, David. You guys are tremendous accomplisher. And I mean, and you said, have it all. I think when you understand what is all, I mean, it's basically God first, you second. And I mean, you can give to others what you do to yourself. So my biggest accomplishment is becoming a father of three amazing athletes and great kids, amazing wife. So I love my family so much. And as you know, that's the biggest asset a man can have.
It certainly is. In your health, obviously playing in the role of faith, family, finance, fitness, relativity, time, all what I call the non-negotiables in life. But Vitor, one of the things I want to talk about is personal to me. And it didn't happen. I was talking to John in the green room about it. It didn't happen until later on in my life, was the importance of my marriage and my wife. And to have an intimate partner who is there has meant so much to me. But it went underappreciated. It was appreciated, but I call it underappreciated. You're someone that I look up to when it comes to that department of having a very strong marriage. But you seem to had, when I met you at first, and continually show a great appreciation for your spouse.
Yes. And in my house, what I learned is the foundation of society is family. Today, unfortunately, we live in a society that family, it's many other subjects. Everyone can, but family is a union between a man and a woman, and they are united, and it's like a paper, you know. When you have kids, it's like putting a glue on one side and put it together. If you break them, it's going to have pieces. You're going to break apart. So I always teach my kids, my wife, like example, when my son was very small, he spoke in a word with my wife, and I look at his eyes and say, you never speak to my wife like that. And my son said, she's my mom. I said, no, she's my wife first. So protecting your marriage is the best present you can give to any other kids. Like people say, I love my kids so much, but they don't protect their marriage. They don't love their mother. So the love, if I love my wife more than my children, that's the best gift you can give along to your children. So that's been my mindset of understanding what is the union between a man and a woman is. But you remember, that's the only place that every time I lose, I win. I don't want to win an argument. I don't want to, I always want to, when I say lose, you know, it's not, you know what I'm
saying. Very good.
That's so good.
That's W for me.
Well, meet my friend whose arms are almost as big as yours here. This is Greg Kimball. What do you got, my brother?
First and foremost, just absolute honor. I'd say the word stud is, it needs to get used in this case for sure. So, you know, I have a company called The Final Percent, and it deals with the fact that we live in an age where 90% is an A minus, 95% is an A, 98% is an A plus. You know, why would you go the final percent? And I learned this when I was watching the eclipse, because 99%, you can't stare at the eclipse. 99%, with 1% of the sun showing, it's the equivalent of 10,000 full moons. And it's not until that final percent, 100% happens, where you get that exponential shift and you really see the transformation that's possible. And I think we get into this place of comfort. Now, you don't become a champion unless you understand what it's like to go the final percent. You know, when you get into a 98% battle, it's the person that can go that final percent that's going to win, that's going to become a champion. And I would just like to hear, you know, what are the moments and the mindset and the heart set? Where do you have to take yourself to have a final percent life, a final percent marriage? And, you know, especially in the ring, because these are things that I don't think people fully comprehend, just where you have to go to be able to truly win and be a champion like yourself. So what does the final percent to you? How do you have that mentality?
Vitor, before you answer, I just got to tell you, when he told me this story, he said, yeah, imagine telling your wife I'm 99% faithful. I told him that.
Final percent matters.
Yeah, I was gonna say that means I'm 100% dead.
Right.
That would mean I'm 100% dead. Anyway,
exactly.
Explain the final percent, Vitor.
As simple as it is. Another day, I was talking about the gospel. You know, and I do my theology, and I was, you know, teaching these young kids, and I got a glass of water. So this is my cup, but I mean, I had a full glass of water, alkaline water, beautiful. And I said, if I offer you this water, would you drink? And say, yes. I say, it's alkaline, it's pure. But if I put one drop of a venom, now would you drink? So what is the 99%? If I give you Jesus, only 99%, you're still going to hell. So basically what I'm trying to explain to these people is like, you cannot negotiate with your marriage, raising children, you know, building a business. And the number one thing it is, I always like to make an analogy of life and death. Life is death. Death is life. So every seed that goes under the dirt, that seed dies to multiply many seeds. So everything starts with death. What is death? Death is not literally, that's the only thing we all know in common, that we're going to die one day. Nothing is for sure. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know the stock market. But we know we're going to die one day. But the reason is like when and how. We don't know how. But I mean, I'm living eternally. That's my perception of life. I'm an eternal being. I have an eternal being in my heart. But everything you do in life, if you just do 99%, you're not doing it all. So I like that analogy. Like I always say, I'm willing to die for something. So call values, I call principles and preference. Preference is like you always negotiate. Today I like this, tomorrow I don't. Values and principles, you stick with it whatever you are. So example, another day, someone tried to show me something that inappropriate. I said, I don't want to watch. I said, Victor, why not? I said, because I'm faithful to my wife. My eyes is my wife. My eyes is God. So you have to establish some principles and preference along the way. And I always say, I don't trust myself. And you say, how not, Victor? Because I know how bad I am. So I need to go for this 1%. So I'm always searching this 1%. And I call 1% better. Like I have three amazing athletes in my house. My daughter is going to Brazil. She got invited to the Brazilian volleyball team. She's flying by herself. She's only 17. And I said, if you can get 1% better every day, by the end of the month, you have 33%. Tell me a business you can earn 33% a month. So it's a great investment. So, but after 3 months, you have 100%. You just double your money. So I'm tired to the society that people are just driving by. So, example, NIL is a great thing, but it's destroying a lot of athletes because now they got in touch with money. And like I say, the problem is not the money, it's just the love of money. You got to play football. You got to fight. And you cannot fight for money because now you see what's happened. Example, you see Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia fought this last Saturday. He was not there to win. You know, and I mean, I see a lot of things in athletes that I'm trying to bring to business. A lot of people are doing business just to, oh, can I sell this? Oh, I'm getting by. I just need to get by. No, I want to break the market. Can I stand out? And you're totally right. 99% equals zero. Ooh. So 100% or nothing. It's yes and no. So that's how I live.
I love this, man. Listen, Rio de Janeiro, I think we can get along very well. I'm just a kid from Harlem who God chose to show his favor and mercy through. Grew up in the late 80s, early 90s. I say you don't have to be a historian to know what took place during that time. They called it the war on drugs, but we felt like it was the war on us. So I've watched the Children of God, one of my favorite movies, right? So I know about growing up in what it feels like a third world country. And it's funny because if a person hasn't tasted their own blood, we can't really relate. Mm-hmm. Business is a contact sport. So if you haven't gone through something, you can't teach somebody anything, right? Yep. So I love the fact that you're super physical and gritty and have gone through some things. That lets me know that you're a contender, right? And when you're in a room with champions, when you're on a panel with champions, you feel really comfortable.
Yeah.
Right. So one of the things I talk about is adding a zero to you. And we were just talking about how entrepreneurs. So I help people build their personal brand and leadership development and understand that their losses equate to their leadership if they look at it from a different perspective. Right. So that's all it is perspective. People go through the same obstacles. People face the same realities. It's just perspective. So the champion, the person that goes that one extra percent, right, that final percent,
yes,
looks at the same challenges that a person who quits at 99 does.
Yeah.
It's not about not having the confidence or the courage to go further. It's just seeing it differently and choosing to push forward without stopping. But when people ask, well, how am I going to win? The only way you're going to lose is if you quit.
Yeah.
As long as you keep going, it's inevitable that you be successful. So I can see through all of your accomplishments that you have been successful, that you're not quitting, that you're adding a zero in every area of your life. What does personal brand mean to you?
I think personal brand, it's everything. It's like I call it, you are what you eat, what you see, what you hear, what you drink, what you eat, what you think. So I think you become everything you put in your temple. But, you know, people don't get too much attention to their organs because you cannot see, you cannot take a picture of your liver, of your heart. And how can you see courage? Can you see courage? Sometimes courage is not symbol. So all these elements of feelings, you know, we live in a society of feelings. So you said about, I said, how many losses you have? I say zero. I have zero losses. I say how? Because my losses become my lessons.
Yes. Oh, so good.
So it's called the LL. So I get my losses and become my lessons. My lessons now is something I can impart to other people. So coaching, you know, the most important thing for me in life, it is people that can lead other people to all the way, called the promised land. The promised land is a land that everybody wants to go, but no one wants to go to the desert. No one, you know, remember the Jewish in the desert, they're eating the manna. Oh, I want to go back to the Egypt. So we call it the Egypt mentality. People want to go back to slavery. Mm. And what is a slavery? Slavery, you can live in a mansion and be slave of pornography. Mm. You can be slave of addiction. You can be slave of so many things. So having money, it doesn't make you wealthy. What makes you wealthy when you have the freedom to choose something and still like, I don't want that. I don't need to take a hit on that. I don't need to take a sip on that. I don't need to look that because I can buy that, but I don't want that. I don't need that. I don't need that in my watch. I don't need that in my, you know, I don't need to drive that car because I don't need to show people this. So personal branding is to understand when you go to sleep and you say, if I die today, I'm happy. Mm. I'm going to see God and I'm going to be honored. You know, I'm not good. No one is good. No, that's the reality of it. No one is good. But I don't get to God because I did something. It's through his work. So I always go, God give me grace, but I got to get work. So, you know, people live by grace. Grace is great. It's something that you don't earn salvation. But in this work, you got to work for your branding. You got to work for your marriage. You got to work for your, you got to work. And you got to work 110%. Because if you just look for 100%, you know, sometimes you're doing 98 and you think you're doing 100. So in my house, I always say to my kids, can you rate yourself today 1 to 10, but not 7? So they cannot choose 7. And why not 7? Because 7 is average. So my kids, if they're on the 6, either 8, 9, I never give them 10. I never give them 10. And sometimes they give 9.9 because that 1%, they have to work for that. So if I give them 100%, so they never give them 100%. So because it's at this 1%, you got to keep pushing. It's like watching this invisible wall. You got to keep searching because when you stop, you're a dead man on that desert.
Yeah.
Anchorman.
Hey, Vitor, thank you for the years of awesome UFC fighting and beautiful work. I'm a behavioral neuroscience researcher and do a lot of work on the inner game, helping people shatter their limitations, whether they're mental or emotional. And the question I have for you, I wrote a New York Times bestselling book. Then I wrote another one called Inner Size, The New Science to Unlocking Your Brain's Hidden Power. And my question for you is this. You and I and everybody here on this panel exercises to keep our body and our internal organs strong. My entire body of work is around inner size and strengthening your mind. And to be a champion, you've got to fail. You have to have disappointment, whether it's being embarrassed, you know, on the world stage, getting defeated, getting beaten up, losing your game, not being in perfect shape, whatever the case might be. How do you, as a world-class athlete, world champion, how do you win the inner game? What are your mental and emotional practices in addition to, obviously, the considerable workouts and work that you do on your physical body?
So I call that, you know, you can do an x-ray of your shoulder. You can x-ray of your heart. That's why they call practitioner. You know, psychologists and psychiatrists, they are practitioners. What is a practitioner? When you stop practicing that knowledge, you stop evolving. And so the soul, I call the soul is what we have, our feelings, all the feelings that we live in this world. That's why I don't live my life by feelings. I live my life by principles. So feelings, sometimes I feel like I want to eat that cake, but I say, no, I don't need that. So you cannot do an x-ray of emotions. Emotion, you have to understand. I can be sad and be happy. I can be weak and feel strong. So the idea of setting your mind into this place is like understanding that there is no tomorrow. Or tomorrow is something that is not guaranteed. So it's called living the now. So the future is related to anxiety. The past is depression. Mm. And no one is living on the now. And the now is like right now. I'm right here, full here. But in a couple of minutes, I have another meeting. And that's how life it is. But I feel like people are so anxious for tomorrow or they're so worried now because of the phone with social media. I don't have like, people don't like me. So the way I base my life is I'm pleasing God and I'm pleasing my wife and I'm pleasing my kids. So we have a question in the house that we do every day. We got to respond. So what do you like in me that you want me to continue to do? What would you like me that you want me to start doing? And what you hate in me that I have to stop doing? So these questions that we answer each other in the house help us to identify what we need to work on. So that way I can become a better businessman. I can become a better human. I can become a better athlete, a better coach, a better mentor. Because the knowledge when you think you got it, it doesn't exist. So the mindset, like you said, it is transforming your mind. Romans 12:1, like you have to keep transforming your mind. Neuroscience, you can. And I know some people don't believe in that, but that's why they cannot turn around. And that's why they live by their circumstance. So I don't live by my circumstance.
Do you believe that your mindset is what got you to win more than the skills, or was it a combination?
It's definitely my mindset is what sent my skills. Like example, I call this the spirit living inside the soul. So they cannot separate it. You know, I believe in dichotomy. We are parasympathetic, sympathetic system. My body, my soul, and my spirit, they live together. So I'm going to be accountable for the things that I know was. So example, no one posts a picture of doing something that is not supposed to do. So everything you do in secret, everything you don't want people to know, it's you're not supposed to be doing. Like when I say secret, it's not your personal. Sometimes something is a personal, but I just feel like they are combined. But your mindset is what dictate. Like I go in a cold plunge, 40, 35 some days. You know, I go in the morning, 5 o'clock. I don't want to go every morning. I don't want to go in that cold plunge. It sucks for me. But I gotta go. So it's not just it's good for my body. It's good for my mind. So if you know you don't want to do it, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Because our body is always tending to sin. Our sin nature is always want to eat that cake. We always wanted to do that thing, to get rid of all that workout. People are skipping their things just to do something they're not supposed to be doing. So I like to work my dopamine by my principles, and I stand my principles, and I'm not going to break it.
Love it. Thank you.
That was good.
It is great. As amazing as John has taught me, you cannot find outside of you what you can't see inside of you. So exercise all of that power, that source, that energy and wisdom and faith that Vitor Belfort represents. Thanks for going overtime with us. The amazing champion himself here on Office Hours.